Okay, now we're switching to the article article number 19 from Shamati. What does it mean that the Creator hates the bodies in the work? Again, Shamati, article number 19. What does it mean that the Creator hates the bodies in the work? Shamati, article number 19. What does it mean that the Creator hates the bodies in the work? The Holy Zohar says that the Creator hates the bodies. He said that we should interpret the intention on the will to receive called body, guf. Since the Creator created His world for His glory, as it is written, everyone that is called by My name and whom I have created for My glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. That contradicts what the body claims, that everything is for it, meaning only for one's self. And the Creator says the opposite, that everything should be for the Creator. Because of that, our sages said that the Creator said that He and I cannot dwell in the same compartment. It therefore turns out that what mainly separates one from being in adhesion with the Creator is the will to receive. This is apparent when the evil comes, meaning the will to receive for oneself, comes and asks, why do you want to work for the Creator? And we think that it speaks like a human, argues like a human, meaning wants to understand with the mind. But this is not so, since it does not ask for whom one works, because this is certainly an intellectual argument. Because someone who has an intellect makes that argument, but the claim, the argument of the evil, is a physical one, and a bodily one. Meaning it asks, what mean you by this service? Meaning, what profit will you get by working, by this work? Meaning it asks, if what you do not work for yourself, what will the body have? Body being the will to receive for self. Since this is a bodily answer, you can only answer a bodily answer, which is blunt his teeth. And if he were not there, he would not have been redeemed. So what is this about? Why is the Creator more right than the body? Why should I work against the body? The body says it has a desire, and that it is worthwhile for me to fulfill them. And that's what I feel. When I fulfill all kinds of desires of the body, I feel good. It's as if these two egoists, there are two egoists, one says work for me, and the other says work for me, and I have to work. When I work in the body, for the body, I get some pleasures. Yes, I feel that it's somehow worthwhile, but from the Creator. So far, I haven't received anything. For the time being, they promised me that maybe there's something. And that's our work. But why is one better than the other? What is the benefit? We have to see, is there a benefit from the work of God, and is there a benefit from the work of the body, for the body? One hates the other, so what? They can hate each other. I am in the middle, I have to serve either this or this in order to get pleasure. So who should I serve? Do you understand the question? I have two bosses. They both say, we'll give you a proper reward. Work. So let's see, for whom should we work? I have to work because I want to enjoy. So these two owners that say work in reception or work in bestowal, in the end, both as a reward, they show me my future pleasure. So how do I find my way between them? How do I choose for whom I should work? It's a question. I don't know who is right. One is called the King of Kings. The other is called Foolish Old King. So, he's old, alright. So we have to see. So what does he write? Alright, so why shouldn't I listen to it? What is, how is it not good, yes, and why is the Creator as a host more right? I'm standing before them. I would say my body is much closer to me, much greater, much more convincing, and the Creator seems, small. I don't know, maybe he exists, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. Right? Tshuva. God forbid, right? That's it. So, for the time being, this foolish old king is respectable, and it takes up my whole, and the other says, give, I'll pay you. Yes, but I can hardly see him. The point in the heart, that's what it is. So what do we do? And they say that the other is correct. The opposite is correct. It tells me, on that little one, regarding that little one, it says to me, you have to increase it, you have to enhance it, you have to go against yourself, and with this foolish old king, you see that you're close to it. And this foolish old king, you have to blunt his teeth. It's against all reason. What do you see that this is done? By which calculation? As much as I see right now, I see both of them before me in the complete opposite way than what Kabbalists tell me. How will I change it? I don't know. We'll see. Why? Because the will to receive for self has no redemption, even during the time of redemption. Because the redemption will be when all the profits will go into the vessels of bestowal, not into the vessels of reception. And the will to receive for oneself should always remain in deficit, because the fulfillment of the will to receive is complete death. And the reason is that creation was primarily in his honor. This is the answer to what is written, that he wishes to delight his creatures, not himself. And the meaning of it should be that creation should be primarily when it is apparent that the purpose of creation is to delight his creatures. Precisely when one says that he was created in order to cherish the Creator, to respect the Creator, then in these kelim we find that the purpose of creation was to delight his creatures. Although I have two bosses before me, but Kabbalists say
מקובלים אומרים ש
So Kabbalists say that owner called the creator is right. Why? Because what he says, this host, you will come to me when you have vessels of bestowal. That's an unlimited something. And then I too will give you an unlimited reward. And Kabbalists tell us that as long as we haven't gone through all the discernments in order to see that our hosts, that we work for our hosts right now happily, hoping to get something good from that. Actually, this host gives us nothing but a spark. It's called a spark from minute lights, and does not fulfill us. And that's how we keep searching, and we are empty. The other host, although we think that he is irrational, what does he want from us? To bestow, to reach something, and then we'll have something. That's something completely doesn't sit with the mind, with the heart, with anything. But Kabbalists say that the truth is that that's the way it should go, probably. And we have to swap how we naturally change, how we naturally use our will to receive, where we do it in order to receive in it and enjoy, so that we can do it in order to bestow, and enjoy bestowal, not enjoy because I bestow and then have a reward, but enjoy the act itself of giving. So I have to change the formula. Of what gives me pleasure. Not just when I fulfill myself as I do now and enjoy, not substituted for fulfilling others and taking pleasure in that, but enjoying to enjoy giving, the giving itself without any result that comes back to me. That's the fulfillment. So it's not that we enjoy within the will to receive through reception or bestowal, but we enjoy within the vessels of reception themselves in the O Chazel. That's what Kabbalists say. That if a person goes out to this other formula, then he finds the eternal life. That he no longer feels as he feels this life, in the property of reception, but in the property of bestowal. So any prophets that Kabbalists give us, any information that Kabbalists give us in order to save ourselves, spare us from years of suffering, That's why they do it. Right, continuing to read. That is why one must always test oneself, the purpose of his work. Meaning in anything he does, he wants to see if the Creator will get pleasure from that, because he wants equivalence of form. But the Creator, which is called, which means that all your actions will be for the Creator. Meaning, by everything that a person does, he wants to give pleasure to the Creator. As it is written, to bring contentment to his Maker. And with the will to receive, you have to say, I have already decided that I do not want to receive any pleasure because you want to enjoy. Since with your desire, I have to be separated with the Creator. Because this disparity of form causes separation and distance from the Creator. And one's hope should be that since one cannot be freed from the will to receive, he is therefore always in ups and downs, and that's why he hopes for the Creator to open his eyes and have the power to overcome and work only for the Creator. As it is written, one thing I have asked the Lord, that will I seek. That meaning the Holy Divinity. And he asks that that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And this house is called Holy Divinity. Now we can understand what our sages wrote. And you shall take you on the first day. First, for the calculation of the sins. But we have to understand what is the joy if there's a place for calculation of sins here. He said that we have to know that there's importance in the labor when there's contact between the Creator and the person. Meaning, one feels that he needs the Creator, since he then sees in that state of labor that there is no one in the world who can save him from his situation. But only the Creator, because he then sees that there's no one who can, none else but him. And he can save him from his situation. And this is called that he has tight contact with the Creator, and one does not know how to appreciate that contact. Meaning, one should believe that then he is attached to the Creator, meaning that he then thinks only of the Creator, meaning that he will help him. Otherwise, he sees that he is lost. However, he who attains private providence, meaning he sees that everything is done by the Creator, as it is written, he alone does and will do all the deeds. Therefore, one has nothing to add, and therefore he has no room for prayer to ask of the Creator, for the Creator's help, because he sees that even without his prayer, the Creator does everything. So then he has no reason, there is no place for him to do good deeds, because he sees that even without him, everything is done by the Creator. Therefore, he does not need the Creator's help to do anything. And therefore, then he has no contact with the Creator to be needing of him, to the extent that if the Creator does not help him, he is lost. It turns out that the contact that he had with the Creator while he was making labor, he doesn't have it now. And he said, it is like a person who is between life and death, who asks of his friend to save him from death. How does he ask of his friend? Certainly, with all one's might, he tries to ask of his friend to pity him and save him from death. And he does not forget for a minute to pray for his friend, to his friend. Because otherwise, one sees that he loses his life. However, one who asks of his friend for excessive things, for luxuries, that are things that are not so necessary. The one who asks is not so attached to his friend and to get what he needs from him to such an extent that he will not deviate his mind from asking, be distracted from asking. So it follows that in things that are not life-saving, the one who asks is not so attached to the giver. Therefore, when one feels that he should ask the Creator to save him from death, meaning from the situation of the evil in their lives are called dead, then the contact between the individual and the Creator is a tight one. That is why for the righteous, the place of the work is to need the Creator's help. Otherwise, he is lost. That is what the righteous want, meaning a place for work so that they have tight contact with the Creator. The question is, where do I take this desire, huh? If I knew that this was death, then I would certainly run to the Creator. The problem is that I never feel it as death. Why? If I'm still in vessels of reception. For me, death is when I feel empty in my vessels of reception. And fulfilling them is life for me. That's my life. What can I do? So here they tell me, you have to acquire a need. You have to want to bestow. And then you cry and turn to the Creator when you need to bestow. And you cannot do it, you cannot implement it, right? When you want to give, and this cruel one, my ego, my will to receive doesn't let me, then you will help me to be able to do that. How can you be in that state? If I'm in that state, of course I'll say something, I'll try to ask, because of the situation itself that will appear. But for the time being, I don't see that it's even realistic to be in that state, to want to give, to have these cries. What are the needs for that? It's as if Barasulam tells us, gives us a complete situation that was already born in me. It's in me. It was just made this way. So what do? Read it again. First we talked about the will to receive. It's normally a but. That's what I've said. So what do we do if we don't need it? Okay, going back a little bit. By the way, this is article number 19 from Shamati. What does it mean that the Creator hates the bodies in the work? Whereas he who attains private providence, so I've asked, what does that mean? That we see that the Creator does everything. Rav says, all right, so we have to come to that. As it is written that he alone does and will do all the deeds. So Rav says, yes. Therefore, one has nothing to add, because he has no place for room for prayer, asking for the Creator's help, because he sees that even without his prayer, the Creator does everything, right? So Rav says, so why do I need to ask? So is that a good state or not? No. What's bad about it? No place for work. As we were controlled by the ego before, now we're controlled by the other side. So we have no independence in that. It's not us. We went from one authority to another. That is why he then has no place to do good deeds, because he sees that even without him, everything is done by the Creator. Therefore, he does not need the Creator's help to do anything. And therefore, one has no contact with the Creator at that time to become needing of him, to see if that if the Creator doesn't help him, he is lost. Yes? Say, like the still vegetative inanimate that work out of their impulses in order to receive, in order to bestow, what does it matter? If it comes naturally, and something compels me and I do it, like a landlord, like a boss and an employee, where one pays the other. So there's nothing independent in it that you might call it a creation. There is no creation. Creature. There's just a creator who operates against the will to receive that he had created. He plays with the whale. Nothing more. When does a person begin? Well, it turns out that the contact he had with the Creator, while he had labor, he doesn't have it. He said it is like a person who is between life and death, and he asks of his friend to save him from death. How does he ask of his friend? He will certainly make every effort possible to ask of his friend to pity him and save him from death. And he certainly does not forget for a minute to pray to his friend, because otherwise he will lose his life. However, one who asks of his friend for luxuries, things that are not so necessary, the one who asks is not that attached, cohesive with his friend, to asking him to give him what he wants to the point where he will not be distracted from asking for a minute. So in things that do not concern life-saving, the one who asks is not so attached to the giver. Therefore, when one should ask of the Creator to save him from death, many from the state of evil in their lives are in their life are called dead, then the contact with the Creator is a tight one. That is why, for the righteous, the place of work is to need the Creator's help. Otherwise, he is lost. That is what the righteous want, meaning a place for work, to have a tight connection with the Creator. So where is their independence? When there is a contradiction inside between what I am and what I should be, and when it is irrational, according to one's calculation, one's thoughts, if one calculates irrationally, not for, but against his system of judgment, his thought, his criticism, his ability to research, to study, if he tries to go against himself, by that he builds his independence. All the things where he chooses between good and bad, in that he is no different from a beast that does that always. So animals too have senses, and they have an intellect that tells them how to get what they want. And when can we say that something can be beyond creation if there's a contradiction between the system in a person that's the bitter and sweet, and there's a true and false. When one begins to develop a completely opposite system to what is in one, and on top of it, if he develops it, he exits nature. Only in that condition. Otherwise, you'll be a sophisticated animal. Do you understand that or not? What, Yuda? and asking help from the Creator.
For
that you can ask for help from the Creator, because you want to have forces, a mind, a perception that you don't have. You want to build in you something that you can't. You just know that if you don't have that new structure, you will remain a beast. Meaning, you work only according to what you see before you. And you're in a state you think you are lost or in exile, or how should I put it? Controlled by the Creator. The will to receive, yes, Pharaoh is like is the same Creator, but it's from the backside. So we have to understand that being independent is possible only provided we operate from within our nature to find an existence outside nature. Again, read these few lines again. We'll repeat that again. From can she raise? It turns out that with things that are not life-saving, the one who asks is not that attached to the Creator. Therefore, when one feels that he must ask the Creator to save him from death, meaning from the state of evil in their life or called dead, then the contact between a person and the Creator is a tight contact. That is why, for the righteous, the place of the work is to need the Creator's help. Otherwise, he is lost. That is what the righteous want, meaning a place for work, so that they have a tight contact with the Creator. Yes. What? So we have to try and keep that tension of life-saving every moment. Maintaining the tension of life-saving every moment. There are several kinds of work, not necessarily. He says that's what the righteous want. All right, yes, that's what they want, but it's not that they're constantly in it. There's a time of zikut, time of gratitude. It's not that you're in it all the time. The prayer consists of several situations, several kinds of contact between the individual and the Creator. We have to come to a state where we have where there is one force that we deal only with it, and everything else are still inanimate systems that cannot influence anything, and I'm dealing only with him. Now, what is my dealing with him? To destroy all the systems between us. Because I also don't need the system of purity, of Kedusha. I have to transcend that too. So if a person thinks that he is standing opposite one force and should simply ruin everything else, he should just lock himself on that and well, if he operates according to this one force and tries to ruin them, If now the systems begin to confuse him, that will be the correct, both in the right and in the left. Well? It follows that if the Creator gives a place for work, then these righteous are very happy. That is why they said, first to calculate the sins, because this is a joy for them, because now they have a place for work. Meaning now they have become needy of the Creator and can now come into close contact with the Creator, since he cannot come to the king's palace but for some purpose, need. As it is written, and you shall take you. It says specifically, you, take you. The reason is because everything is in the hands of God except the fear of God. Meaning the Creator can give plenty of light, because that is what he has. However, darkness, the place of want, that is not in his domain. And since there is a rule that only from a place of lack is our fear of God, and a place of lack is called the will to receive, meaning only then is there effort in resistance. When the body comes and asks, what mean you by this service? And one cannot answer that question, and one must take upon oneself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the burden, without any arguments. But he said, and his will was done. This is called you, for you. Meaning this work is for you, not for me. Meaning the work that your will to receive necessitates. Questions? Yes. How should we arrange this request to be correct? Meaning for altruism through the group and not egoistic. If you have a desire, first of all, you can't ask without a desire. You don't come to a king wearing rags. You have to have a desire, a big desire. With small desires, you don't go to the king, you go to someone small. And for this desire to be... What exactly do you want? Meaning, our problem is... Our whole work... is... to lose... to process the desire. Do I want the store for myself? You're asking me what you want. I don't understand your question. You're asking me what you want. You should know what you want. Who can know besides you? What is the question that you want to reach? I can't explain that to you, because if I tell you, it'll not come from the heart. You ask about the rains. What does it mean that you ask about the rains? It means that one knows that if there's no rain, he will die. It's very simple. Any drop that falls is for me another day of food and life. This is called a question. So before you feel it this way in your heart, that you are lost, dependent on the rain from the sky. It's not a question. So how do I, yes, artificially, from my mouth to your ear, can tell you what's the question. We say that we play. So what should I ask? What should I ask? It's true. We are in a state where we have no desires. No desire. We don't have the desire. But we still have to come to that desire. So we have to pray for a desire. Yes, it's a prayer before a prayer. May there be a desire before you. Yes. When one cries, although this weeping is like a little baby, but bit by bit, by having the impression from the group, being impressed by the group, he's influenced by the light from above, which sorts out his correct desires. And then he feels his true desire. But it doesn't work before he feels his true desire. The act before that should be, as we always say, during the lesson, primarily, through the intention, when I want to reach the situations that they talk about in the book, which are states of bestowal, states of dvikut, adhesion with the force of bestowal, where in fact I don't want it, but yes, as it is written, I pledge, I want this to happen, although my desire is not a desire, not the true desire. We can't be in a will to receive and ask for a will to bestow. But that's what we have to do in order to acquire independence, in order to exit the dominion of the Creator and the dominion of the creature, to be independent, not under the will to receive or under the will to bestow. Read it. We went a little bit further in, and we feel how things are still, how they become loose, right? So we won't go too deep. It's like a submarine, yes? It's tested to see how much we can push it. And we don't go further down. As much as I can, one can tolerate, yes? As much as one can, one float in control, to that extent, to that depth. However, if the Creator gives him illuminescence from above, then the will to receive surrenders, and he is annulled like a candle before a torch, and he then has no effort because he does not need to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven in coercion, when he is like an ox, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the burden. As it is written, you who love the Creator hate evil, meaning only from the place of evil comes the love of God, meaning to the extent that he has hate for the evil, meaning when he sees how the will to receive obstructs him from reaching the completeness of the goal, to that extent he needs to acquire the love of God. However, if he does not feel that he is evil, he is unable to attain the love of God because he doesn't need it, since he is already satisfied in the work. It follows that one should not be mad, actually. Complain when he has work with the will to receive, which obstructs him in the work. And one would certainly be more satisfied if the will to receive had been absent from the body, since it would not pose questions to a person and obstruct him from working in keeping Torah and mitzvot. But one should believe that the fact that the will to receive obstructs him in the work, that comes to him from above. Because from the sky he is given the force of seeing the will to receive. Because precisely when the will to receive awakens, there is room for work, so that one may have a tight contact with the Creator, to help him invert the will to receive to be in order to bestow. And one should believe that that gives contentment to the Creator. From one praying to him to bring him closer in a state of dvikut called equivalence of form, which is the annulment of the will to receive to be in order to bestow. But that, the Creator says, my sons defeated me. Meaning, I gave you a will to receive, and you ask of me to give you instead a will to receive, a bestow. Sorry. Allah says, that's enough for now. That's enough for now.
Yeah, sure.